Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing me with free samples. I don't know about where you live, but here in Columbus, allergy season has started back up again. I feel like I can usually muster through. However, allergies can turn a peaceful night's sleep into a battle of tossing and turning for me. Sleep is something that I highly prioritize, and nasal congestion, sneezing fits, and itchy eyes can disrupt my ability to one, fall asleep, and two, to stay asleep, leaving me fatigued in the morning, which is not great with three kids. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. Like I said, I used to muster through, but as I've gotten older, my allergies have gotten worse. And Claritin D has been a life changer when it comes to my day-to-day. Like I said, sleep is so important to me, and that's usually where I notice my allergies the most, laying down on my back and not being able to breathe. Thank goodness for Claritin D. So are you ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away, and you can find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to bring you my conversation with Nicole Jakes. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with her Instagram account. She graciously agreed to come on and share some of her best tips, tricks, and hacks for the home with all of you today. Nicole places a heavy emphasis on living a non-toxic lifestyle and how she started sharing her knowledge on social media. We also talk a lot about hosting in our home and what she would say is one of her favorite kitchen hacks. There are a few times during this interview that I was just blown away by her knowledge. And I also felt like this was one just full of practical takeaways that you could implement after you hit stop. So I can't wait to get into this episode. But before we get there, I quickly want to share my minimalist resource of the week. And this week, I want to share the new book by Cal Newport. You might be familiar with him. He wrote the book Deep Work. This one is called Slow Productivity, The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout. So I'm about halfway through this new book, but I really like how he bases it on three principles of doing fewer things, working at a natural pace, and obsessing over quality. So far, this book has been full of good advice. His tips seem easy to implement, which I always appreciate in a nonfiction read. I will say I do wish for someone as productive as Cal Newport to share a little bit more about his own life, like how he raises his children, hosts a podcast, teaches, and found the time to write all of these books. But nonetheless, I think there are some great takeaways here, and I highly recommend it so far. I'll be sure to include the link to this book in the show notes. Again, the book is Slow Productivity, The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout by Cal Newport. And then lastly, if you've been enjoying the Minimalist Moms podcast or you enjoyed this episode, please, number one, share it with a friend that could benefit from the content. And then number two, if you haven't left a rating or review yet, that helps other people find the Minimalist Moms podcast. It's simple and not very time consuming, but it makes a huge impact on the show and to continue to bring amazing creators to you. So with that, I cannot wait to share this episode with Nicole. So let's dive into it. Well, Nicole, this has been a year in the making, you and I sitting down and talking together. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy that we finally made it happen.
I know. I'm sorry. I know both of our schedules are pretty crazy, and it looks like you're doing quite a lot right now. I just was on your stories before we got on. You're launching a blog. You have your own podcast, doing an ebook. So you have had a full schedule, as have I. So I'm just glad we're finally making the time. I am recording from my car, but we're making it happen.
We are making it happen. You know, that is the flexibility of moms or parents in general. And so yeah. I think we're true testament to this is real life.
Yes. I definitely try to be as authentic as I can in that way. But why don't we go ahead, Nicole? I'll let you introduce yourself to the listeners. Today, we're going to be talking about cleaning hacks, tips and tricks. You are so well known for that. So why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, and we'll get started.
All right. I'm Nicole Jakes. I'm a mom of two. I'm a wife. I live in Oregon, and I have a knack for understanding the non-toxic lifestyle, especially in the cleaning space, whether it be produce or your grout in your bathroom. I have you covered. I kind of grew up in a home with a Southern grandma who was a home-taught chef, and she made all of her own cleaning supplies. So these are things I've known for a long time. And my friends said, you need to start sharing this with the world. And so 2 years ago, I popped on Instagram and created a handle and started sharing. And it didn't start in cleaning always. It started in recipes and kitchen hacks and fun lifestyle content, and then evolved into me sharing kind of my repertoire of non-toxic cleaning, decluttering, organization. And the community is why I stay. I think social media lacks authenticity a lot of the time, and we show these perfect homes, and that's just not real life. So I really love my community for their kindness and that they come on to be empowered, but also because we keep it real. We just do. So I'm here and excited to be on and talking all things cleaning, minimalism, and all of the lifestyle in between.
That's a little bit about your backstory, but for the listeners today, you are also here to share with them. And we are going to just dive into some of your top tips for cleaning and hosting, kitchen hacks, all of the things. So first and foremost, let's get into cleaning tips and tricks. What are some of your favorite cleaning tips and tricks, these hacks that you have here for us?
So I think it's a mindfulness about cleaning. I think everybody really looks at cleaning and thinks, oh gosh, I have to go do that. And I want to take the stress out of cleaning. So my mantra is less mess, less stress, more success, because I think it's all about how we perceive things. So if we can think of cleaning as a cycle, our home is a living, breathing object that is always going to be in constant motion, much like our children. And so if we look at like laundry as a cycle, where there are clothes that we're wearing that need to be laundered, there's clothes that are waiting to be laundered, ones that are being laundered, ones that are being dried, ones that are waiting to be put back into being clean clothes, we break the stress of, I have to get this done. So one of my number one tips is change your mindset about cleaning. Number two is a potato can go a long way. So take a potato and cut it in half. It not only defogs, the starch really helps with like mirrors and glass cleaning, because as we rub these surfaces of glass or mirrors, they have a rough, coarse texture. They're not like how we view them in our eye, but if you put them under the microscope, they're rough. And the starch actually helps to make it more level. And so it takes the ability for it to fog, and it cleans it really well. A cast iron, it cleans a cast iron magnificently. Starch is one of those sticky substances that we don't think about as being completely non-toxic, and it really has a great ability to break down fats and solubles. But a potato is like always in my house to eat, but also to clean with. Yeah, totally random. And then another one is rewire your brain to what clean smells like. So cleaning not smell like anything. Something being clean smells like nothing. But we've been wired to have it smell like bleach or to have it smell floral. And that's just one of those things we need to say, that's outdated information. Clean smells like nothing. I love is a pumice stone. So you can buy these scoring stones on Amazon. They're really cheap. They're made from volcanic ash. They are amazing, and they clean toilet rings, mold, mildew, oven grime. They will not scratch surfaces, and they do an insane job at deep cleaning. And all you need is the scoring stone, some hot water, let it soak for a second, and then take it out, and it will clean your home in ways you never thought possible. So those are probably like my top four tips of things to use for cleaning.
Okay, you're blowing my mind right now, mostly because I'll admit I'm not the best deep cleaner. I'm great at tidying. I have my home in the position where it's easily tidied. However, the deep cleaning I leave up to my husband, and he really gets in there. Well, we definitely are a family that uses chemicals pretty much everywhere but the kitchen. So I appreciate the potato advice. That's very helpful. Quick question. This is just personal for me. I am really into cooking sourdough right now. How do I clean the sourdough pan? Because it seems to be so yucky in there, and I don't want to ruin it because those are expensive.
Absolutely. So anything with a pot, I usually use a baking soda mixture and heat.
Okay. Okay. Baking
soda is one of those that is really abrasive. Its alkaline is about an 8, and it just has an incredible ability to break down dirt and grime fast and efficiently, where it can like really levitate that gummy, sticky stuff off of anything.
And then okay.
Another thing we always underestimate is heat. Heat is such an incredible cleaner, whether it be in steam or it be in, you know, baking it. But like if I take my Le Creuset and it's really gummy or sticky, let's say I've made caramel, I put water in it, baking soda mixture. I put it back on the stove. I let it heat up and then everything just falls off the pan.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go do that this weekend. That's a very helpful tip for me. So you are trying to be as chemical free as possible. Are you using chemicals in your home? Or I should say, I guess a better question would be, where are you using chemicals, if any?
Nowhere. So
nowhere.
Nowhere. I don't really use any. I make all my own cleaners. I save thousands of dollars a year on that, but I also just keep it fume free. We live a low toxic lifestyle. Nothing's 100% because I have an autoimmune, and that autoimmune affects my esophagus. And so I will choke if I have a flare up. So it's not like a no big deal. And so the low toxic lifestyle has essentially just become what we do. And I live in a mold free home and it's clean and tidy and it smells like nothing. And how did you get the mold off of your grout? I'm like, hydrogen peroxide and a little baking soda and dish soap. I think it's all about understanding what and that some of these cleaners we've always exposed ourselves to really cause more endocrine disruption, hormone issues, gut health problems, and asthma than we've been told. Not a conspiracy theorist at all, 0%. But really, when it comes to like needing any sort of disinfectant, it's rubbing alcohol. Think about what hospitals use, you know? Alternative for so much out there.
Yeah, yeah. So quickly, what do you use in your kitchen as your disinfectant or just a kitchen cleaner?
My favorite kitchen cleaner, I heat up a little bit of white vinegar. I add it to a water solution and I can spray almost anything and kind of get it out. The biggest thing with vinegar is people hate the smell. So Use mine. You know how we infuse like cocktails?
Yeah.
I infuse my white vinegar. I have like pine in one. I have orange peels in another. And I upcycle food produce or floral in order to make my own. Like my whole home will smell like an orange grove when I'm done cleaning it, even though I use vinegar.
Okay. So you have the bottle of vinegar. You put the orange peels in there and let them sit for however long. And then you add it to your solution. That's how it smells. Because some people's houses smell like essential oils. But I'm like, oh, is that really expensive to be using all these essential oils? But it sounds like I can do this kind of cost efficiently.
Totally. So distilled white vinegar, you can buy it anywhere, grocery store, Target.
Yeah.
But if you then, or on Amazon, it can get delivered to your front door nowadays. You know, like cuties that your kids like to eat, the little... Or like sumo, you know, those ones with the little top on them. Just throw them in a bottle of vinegar. And then in 2 weeks, you'll have this magnificent cleaner that can do so much and smells delicious.
I think one of my hesitations with ever giving my children chores around the house, such as cleaning the bathroom or cleaning up the kitchen, has been, I don't want you touching chemicals. I just want that to be my job. But if I can actually make this happen, it sounds like I can start outsourcing some of the chores.
Absolutely. So my kids actually make some of the cleaners for me. I'm like, okay, we can cook this. Let's do that. There is a great company that does a lot of this too, if you're just too anxious to do it all yourself, called Branch B6. And I love them. They're women owned and led. I'm sure you've heard about them on social. I think my biggest thing was if I can't give it to my kids to do, why am I doing it myself?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I cleaned houses in college and you're freaking me out. I'm like, I got to go get my hormones checked. Who knows what happened during that time? Because that was a good like 3 or 4 years that I was cleaning multiple times a week using all kinds of chemicals. So that's just a side note. Okay, let's get into hosting. Hosting at home with less stress. What are some of your best tips here?
Okay, my biggest tip is know your menu. So I have 4 recipes and that's all I'm making if you come over. And they're easy, simple, 5 ingredients, under 25 minutes, and I don't have to stress. So like the other thing with hosting is you want, you know, a protein, something that can be diet oriented to your group. Knowing dietary restrictions is always a large one for me just because I have health. Don't stress about dessert. Buy the dessert. Like sometimes it's upgrading that really is what makes hosting more enjoyable. So I think it's all about knowing whom you're entertaining. If you're entertaining foodies, you want the emphasis to be on food. If you're entertaining entertainers, you want it to be on the entertainment you're providing. knowing your audience is basically 99% of hosting. So for example, if I'm hosting families, the entertainment needs to be around the children, right? So I'll put like a big movie screen theater in my yard and I'll get each of them a little kiddie pool with a blanket and I'll set up a popcorn stand and a candy station and the kids can be down there watching a movie cozy where we're enjoying dinner up on the front patio. Your audience, right? Like that is like number one. And then just like knowing recipes that you can nail if you are. And don't be afraid to outsource. That's the help sometimes you need.
Yes, absolutely. One thing that people get stuck on is just the deep cleaning. And I definitely don't notice that when I go to my friends' houses. I mean, I think we have to give ourselves a little bit of grace to say like your baseboards are okay if they have dog hair on them and some dust. We're here for the connection, and that's the most important part. If you're so stressed out that we can't have that in a nice manner, then it probably is going to be a bust regardless, you know?
It'll be a bust. Yeah. You really just have to realize that you're getting people together. No. Okay. So here is my saying for this. It just took me right back to this moment. I always say, if you want to come see my house, give me 2 weeks. But if you'd like to come see me, come on over now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. 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 I like that. Again, as this minimalist mom, I am pretty decent. You can show up probably within 10 minutes and I can have everything tidied up, but don't look at the baseboards. Don't look in the corner of those ceilings. Don't look at my stovetop. It's not going to be good. Don't look in the toilets because I have 2 boys. So it's going to be rough right now. Okay. Any other tips about hosting before we get into kitchen hacks?
Enjoy it. So make sure that you're not the one just running around when your guests get, hey, can you take out the drinks? Make it a community-oriented gathering. You know, this isn't like hosting royalty where it's like, hello, ma'am. That's too formal. Hosting needs to be about gathering people around food and entertainment and enjoying the memory. But if you, as your hosting, are not enjoying the time you are putting on for other people, nobody will enjoy it, right? Similar to parenting. Kids feed off your reaction. As a hostess, it's the same. So remember, your attitude, your joy is what's going to really set the tone.
I went into a deeper dive about hosting with Morgan Tyree. I'll link the episode in the show notes, but we kind of did go deeper with that. The one thing I was going to say too is for me, I'm all about outsourcing too. If we do a potluck, we talked about that on that episode, but if you can do a potluck and say everyone brings something, I think an easy way to de-stress if you are overwhelmed in general with hosting.
Totally.
Yes. Okay, so let's move into kitchen hacks. Again, there is so much content on your page, so I just kind of wanted to scratch the surface. I'll direct listeners over to you, but I want to get into some kitchen hacks, maybe with the tools or just what are you doing in there? Not just cleaning, but how do we improve stress in the kitchen?
So I think so much of cooking feels intimidating to people that didn't grow up doing it or are new to being in the kitchen. They want to tackle all the goodness of it. Like sourdough, you miss sourdough? And I'm like, okay, I'm coming to your house for that. Like, I don't do sourdough. So just like knowing exactly what you want to tackle first. Kitchen hacks came a lot from my grandmother. So I would watch her in the kitchen and be like, why aren't you using a potato peeler? And she'd be like, she was Southern. So she's like, darling, we don't use potato peelers. They hurt my hands. Like, I just put the potatoes in, make a little cut, you know, around the circumference of the potato, put them in the boiling water. They cook and I can peel them with my fingers. So she'd just take out the potato, hold it, you know, like so, both ends in each hand, and then slightly pull and all the skins would fall off. So I've never owned a potato peeler in my life. Like, I just don't peel potatoes any other way. So I was kind of taught these like generational tips of just how to make it easy and more efficient. It became very trendy, right? We see a lot on social media, like here's a hack, but most of the hacks don't work. So I actually do a little segment every now and then called That Hack is Whack, meaning it doesn't work. Don't try it. Because I think we are just fooled into this, again, kind of fake social media atmosphere. So some of my favorite kitchen hacks that do really work is use the potato peeler one is my favorite. I think that one is probably most viral with like 14 million views, is how to peel a potato without using a peeler. Some of my other favorite ones are usually my produce tips. So like how to clean your produce is probably a big one. Berries like hot things. So people are putting vinegar and baking soda on berries, which is a huge no-no, first of all.
Oh, no, that's what I do.
No, that chemical. Okay, back up. We're gonna help you here. We're going to get your berries to last 2 weeks in your fridge. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
So you're going to take your berries and you're not going to use anything but salt to clean them. So salt is super, super abrasive. It has a crystalline structure that will get into the berries and clean off all that pesticide and dirt and grime. So I use salt and that really helps to kind of clean them. Then I rinse them and I soak them for 30 seconds in like 140 degree water. So it kills all the mold spores. Your berries will last 2 weeks in the fridge in a container with a little like paper towel at the bottom, no lid on top. And I swear my strawberries are in my fridge right now. I've had them for 2 weeks. I'm always testing. I feel like I'm a scientist meets like Google.
It's funny because as you've been talking, I'm like, she's kind of a scientist. Some of the beginning stuff we were talking about, I'm like, she's doing a little science experiments. You were talking about the pH of baking soda. She knows her stuff. I can see why you've gone viral. It totally makes sense.
I think science is important, right? I'm really big on like, why do we do what we do? I don't like to know why we do it any different. And I think being curious probably fuels that. But produce tips are probably one of my biggest ones because people just don't know how to keep produce fresh and it's a waste of money.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. That is a stressor with lettuce. I feel like lettuce will go soggy if you get those pre-packaged boxes. It's better to maybe not do that, would you say?
Yeah. So I just buy my lettuce at the farmer's market or whatever. And then the best way to do it is don't wash it until you're ready to eat it. So just put it in your fridge. And then when you're ready to eat it, use your salad spinner to wash it and to dry it. So the salad spinner is your cleaner. You just put the lettuce in the salad spinner and fill it with water, add a little salt and mix it around a few times, drain it, put it back in. I like to chop it first, put it back in and then dry it. And you've cleaned it and you're ready to eat it and it's ready to go. But my lettuce will last like up to 2 to 3 weeks fresh.
Okay, that's awesome. I'm looking through your feed right now. I'm curious to know, how do you create what you're going to share next? Because you have such a variety here. I'm seeing the strawberries. I saw the like hard boiled eggs. Just are people reaching out to you saying they need help or what makes you think of these things?
So I'm usually looking at what's coming up. So like for the summer, I'm looking at weddings and how I can help with weddings and recipes and hosting. But yes, there's trends and yes, there's holidays built into my platform, but mostly I'm in my direct messages. So I do now have a team. I've only been doing this for 2 years, but I do have a team that helps me with a lot of it. The other part of that I will never lose touch of being in my DMs. So when I hear it from like, I average maybe 1,500 direct messages a day, and I'm the one answering you back.
Yeah.
So I usually put in a voicemail so people are hearing my voice. They know it's me. But I'm looking at what they're asking me. So like right now, people are like, there's spiders. So I'm like, all right, let me post my spider repellent for you. The one that's coming out is like ants, because they're saying they have ants. They want to know how to plant a tomato plant. Mm-hmm. But if I hear from more than like 100 to 200 people, I usually do a video for everybody.
Okay. Yeah. How do we get rid of those ants? I'm starting to get ants.
Okay. So non-toxic way to do it, because all those things are either going to go kill them, which some people are fine with squashing the community. I just want the ants on my roses or my peonies so they bloom well next year. So they're good for my garden. So what I do is I buy cinnamon oil. It's an essential oil. You find where the ants are coming in to your home and you are going to apply the cinnamon oil to that area. They will not. So cinnamon oil has a heat element to, right? You can kind of feel it when you eat it, drink it, smell it, but it will burn the ants' feet. So ants do not want to cross that barrier because of the eugenol effect in cinnamon. So when they smell it, they back far away and they will not come into your house.
That's a great tip. And I love that it's non-toxic. That's great.
Yep.
which segues into our last topic today. Do you have any other big game changers when it comes to non-toxic living?
Yeah. So one thing at a time. Again, I'm always going to pull everything back to being in your mind. I commonly come on and say, how's your heart today? How's your mind? Like, are they on my platform? And that's because our heart usually leads us in the right direction, but our mind stops us from going there. And I think that the non-toxic lifestyle is very, very overwhelming. It is daunting, dark, and I went through a dark period with it. And I don't want anyone else to have to go through what I went through to find my way to a lower toxic lifestyle. So my largest tip is when a bottle is empty, okay, your Clorox bleach is empty, replace it with something non-toxic and do it one step at a time. And you will find that within a year, you are, you know, at least 30% less toxic in your home just by using that method.
That's great. I know you do a lot of DIY. I love Thrive Market and I've purchased a lot of my canned soaps or soap for the sink there. But again, I don't know, like some things they'll say non-toxic or they'll say that they're natural and then you find out that they're not. But even I think small improvements are better than something completely filled. Like a 5 is better than a 9 on the toxicity scale. But again, trying to move towards that if that's something that interests us and we see the benefit too, for sure.
Yeah. And I think the number one thing is remove fragrances. So fragrance is one of those that disrupts so much of our internal working. So if you just remove toxic candles, air freshener, we just start there, dryer sheets. Like if you just start fragrance alone, you'll get really far fast. So it is a whole game changer, similar to minimalism, right? When you're making that switch over to accepting the less cluttered for your mind and your body, same way of the non-toxic, low-toxic lifestyle. And it can feel overwhelming unless you have a guide or an expert to help you get there. And that's exactly what my ebook will touch on is here are 40 recipes you can whip up with like 2 ingredients. And it's simple and easy and just try it, right? Just trying it is so much of it.
Do you know anything about incense? Please don't take them away from me.
Yeah, so incense are totally fine. I use them in my
pool. Yep. Okay.
Incense are usually fine. You want to find a clean brand. Most boxes that say all natural are not. But incense are a great way to infuse a really lovely smell in your home without it being toxic or asthma affecting. So
yes,
you're on the right path there.
Yeah, I got rid of the candles a couple of years ago. However, the incense, I'm obsessed with Palo Santo and cedarwood. And my house, I want my house to smell like an old church. Like an old Catholic church is what I want my home to smell like. I'm sure not everyone loves that, but I do. So I'm glad the incense are on the hopefully somewhat purer list.
They definitely are. And I actually use them outside for mosquitoes. I'll do a full inside and outside series for the summer on my Instagram page. But incense are wildly effective outside as well. So you're on the right path completely. Look at you go, girl. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, I'm happy about that. All right. Well, Nicole, you've given us so much information. Where else can listeners find and connect with you online? Again, you mentioned your ebook, but where are you online?
So you can find me at www.nicolejakes.com. And Jakes is spelled J-A-Q-U-E-S. It is very unique. And then you can find me on my social media handles. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube, Shorts at It's Nicole Jakes. And all my tips and tricks are there. And I'm on there daily, especially on Instagram. It's my main community for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that you say that you are still in your inbox and talking to people via voice. I feel like that's also just easier. I always voice message people. I've been doing that with you. It's just a quick way to get it out and to be precise. So I like that you do that as well.
You're totally right on. I think you and I are so similar in that way. That's why I love chatting with you today. But you know, I think there is this element of social media should be social. And so if your
computer
or your talent or whoever you're coming on to view each day is not being social with you, what's the point?
Yeah, that makes total sense. Total sense. Well, quickly, just to get to know you a little bit more before we wrapped up this conversation, these are more rapid fire, but what has been a beneficial resource in your life that you want to share with the listeners?
Well, you've been a beneficial resource to be complete.
Oh, thanks.
Minimalism was something I was really intimidated by. And as I did low, no toxic, I started to adapt a lot of your tips and tricks myself. Another one is truly, honestly, is find somebody local that sees the world the same way you do. Having one your support system through a lot of these things is really beneficial.
Oh, that's great wisdom for sure. All right. And then lastly is, what is something that you can't stop talking about?
My Loom box. I started doing red light therapy for like wrinkles, mood boosting, lack of inflammation in your body. It like deep dived what red light to get. And I tried so many, like to the tunes of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Nothing has been more beneficial than my Loom box. LUMEBOX.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out because you have great skin. So I would love to, I'd love to check that out. Well, Nicole, this was incredibly helpful. I'm going to implement some of your tips this weekend. So thank you for joining me. I'm so glad we could make it happen.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.